Well, good morning again. Am I on? Can you hear me? Good. All right. So let me give you a little quiz to start the new year. All right. Don't have to raise your hands or anything, but just kind of answer these questions in your own mind and see how well you make out on this list. Hopefully a little better than I did, maybe. But can you name the five wealthiest people in the world from 5 years ago? Probably got a couple of them, right? Got a Microsoft founder and, of course, Buffett as well. But probably not the other three who aren't Americans. How about this? How many winners of the Miss America contest can you name from the past 5 or 10 years? How are we doing? In fact, I didn't even know until we saw this list that Indiana had the Miss America in 2009. And that New York had 3 of the last 6 years. Had no clue. How about this? How many Nobel or Pulitzer Prize winners can you name from 5 years ago? How are we doing? Anybody got a 5 or 10 so far? Not yet. Okay. Not doing too well. How about the Academy Awards? Everybody loves the Academy Awards, right? So 10 years ago, can you name 1 or 2 winners from the Academy Awards? Famous, well-known people. And immediate, no, okay. Last chance. Olympics are coming up here in a couple months in Japan, right? The Winter Olympics. 4 years ago, the United States had 10 people who got gold medals. Can you name any of them? Winter Olympics. Winter Olympics. Yeah, okay, well. Not so well. So we've got the rich, the beautiful, the intelligent, the famous, the gifted. Headliners, right? In the news. All over the news, most likely, at the time when that happened. But how many of those people can we name? All right. We'll give you a little time for redemption here. New quiz. We're going to X out that score. We're going to place it with this new one, all right? So here you go. In your mind, can you name a few teachers in the past who helped you in your journey in education or in life? Got a few names in your mind? A few faces, perhaps? How about this? Name 3 friends who have helped you through a difficult time. How are we doing with that? See more heads going up and down. That's good. 5 people who have taught you something worthwhile in your life. A few people you enjoy spending time with. Right. Maybe 6 people who have inspired you through their testimony or their example in life. How are we doing that test? Anybody ace that? Anybody? Yeah, I think probably most of us did. Much, much better on that list. Reality is we strive after a lot of things in life that we think will somehow help us leave our mark on this world. As I just mentioned, wealth, beauty, intelligence, fame, abilities. But nobody remembers much of what happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago, last week, really, if we're honest, right? But people who have had an impact or an influence in our lives, that's where the real difference is made. And so as we think about this new year and what our goals in life might be and what kind of things we want to see accomplished in our lives, where should we put our focus if we really want to make a difference? And so I'm going to look at the life of Barnabas and the original outline. And so he allowed me to take this and to adapt it to my own
view of how the scriptures lay this out, but we're encouraged in scripture to consider one another, how to stir one another up for love and good works, as it says in Hebrews chapter 10. Not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as we see the day approaching. In fact, Paul says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So today I want to look at the life of somebody that you may or may not recognize a lot of in Scripture. Most of what we know of him comes from the book of Acts and some of the epistles of the Apostle Paul. His name is Barnabas. That's not his real name. His real name is Joseph. But they call him Barnabas. The disciples called him Barnabas because it means this, son of encouragement. He was a native of Cyprus. He was a Jew of the diaspora. That means those who lived in exile rather than there in the area. He was descended from Israelite priests. He was a Levite. Probably gave him a special interest in Jerusalem. He probably came to live there in his adult life and might have even heard the preaching of Christ in those days. But as we look through the book of Acts and all the glimpses that we see of him, it gives us a little bit of a picture of perhaps what our lives should look like if we want to be an encourager. Somebody who makes a difference in the lives of others. Someone who will have an impact on this world one life at a time. As you think about the names of those people who came to your mind in that second quiz that I gave you. Right? So I have six different disciplines that you might want to look at in your own life in this year as you compare yourself to this one Barnabas. It says, and the first one is, an encourager has a generous spirit and seeks to meet needs. So we kind of live in an increasingly selfish world, right? Okay, this is yes. You forget. Right, where, you know, we have all the media, all the information in the world right in the palm of our hand. For those of us who carry cell phones around, or smartphones, right? And a lot of us spend a lot of time looking down into our hands, right? And maybe not all the time looking up and looking around and seeing what the needs of others might be in our life. And so maybe one of our goals this year is just to look up a little bit more often, to have a generous spirit where we seek to meet the needs of others. We see this in the life of Barnabas. He was generous and giving and sought to meet the needs of others. In Acts chapter 4, we first see a picture of him. Verses 34 to 37, it says, there was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. In verse 36, it says this, thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles, Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold the field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So our first picture of Barnabas is one of a giving spirit, a generous soul who saw needs and wanted to meet them. Now we may not all be able to meet needs financially, perhaps, but we can all have a giving spirit. Not just giving financially or giving of our resources, but giving of ourselves and giving of our own lives. And people have needs, even as Jack was encouraging us through the children this morning as well, to think about how we might be an encouragement to others. Our leadership at our Bible Institute received this email a number of years ago that illustrates this so well. It says from this man in the community, so I'm leaving work tonight, driving down the access road when it feels like I have a flat tire. There's nowhere to pull over, and I'm sandwiched between two SUVs, and we're coasting along at 45 miles an hour. So when I get to the stop sign at the bottom of the hill, I get out to change my spare. It's slushy and dirty on the side of the road, and I'm fumbling with the jack and the wrench as this is my first flat tire with the van. Just as I'm struggling to get the lug nuts loose and starting to curse at myself and get frustrated, a car pulls up with several young kids, probably in their late teens or early 20s. Most outgoing kid of the bunch says he grew up working in a tire store and he starts helping and we make quick work of the tire change. When I thank them for stopping, they say, Jesus would have stopped. Turns out they're at your school there at Word of Life. And we make some small talk, and you know some of the same people. They were great. One of the guys named Nathan, he works in the office there at Word of Life. Didn't get the rest of their names. One was on a bit on the preachy side, asking about salvation and what would happen if I died today. Caught me a little off guard, and I probably didn't sound the most articulate. But I understand that preaching comes with the territory for those who are studying to be members of the cloth. He says, very outgoing folks would have made you proud. Said, many cars passed right by me and did not stop, some of them probably carrying my coworkers. We have a spirit of giving, we make an impact in the lives of others. Obviously, this man has not a lot of experience with believers, with the church, but he saw something unique in these young people that really impressed him enough to write this note to our leader at our Bible Institute a number of years ago. Encouragers have a generous spirit. They see needs and they try to meet them, whether personally or in other ways. Second thing we see is an encourager believes in people and he lets it be known. If you think about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's the what?
Love
chapter, right? So you think about this area of being an encouragement, from my perspective, one of the most challenging verses, and as I have the opportunity to work with our missionaries sometimes in challenging situations, and probably one of the main things that takes missionaries off the field is their inability to get along with one another. Even as people who've called to serve the Lord full time, those relationships sometimes get in the way, right? It often comes back to this verse. 1 Corinthians 13, 7 says, love bears all things and what? Believes all things. Hopes all things, endures all things. Let's think about this for a minute. When we do something wrong, we're very quick to let people know, right? That wasn't what I intended. That wasn't my heart. There's such a misunderstanding. I'm really sorry that this happened, right? What happens when somebody hurts us? We're really quick to believe the best about them too, right? Not all the time. Often we need to remember that love believes all things. Too often we're quick to assume the wrong motives in the hearts of people while we want them to assume the best about us, right? We see that Barnabas had that kind of a spirit. As the Apostle Paul was ministering and making enemies of the religious people of the day, in Acts chapter 9, verses 23 to 27, we see this. It says, many days had passed, and the Jews plotted to kill him. That's Saul. Their plot became known to Saul, and they were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him. But his disciples took him by night and led him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. Whew. Paul made it out. Religious people of the day who didn't want to hear this talk about Christ were unable to put him to death. So now he's going to go for some security, right? He's going to find the other apostles, the disciples of Jesus, who will welcome him in and provide him the safety and security that he needs for a little bit of rest. In verse 26 it says, and when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. And who could blame him, right? I mean, this is the Osama bin Laden of the day, right? He had a mission to destroy believers wherever he found them, to throw them into prison, and sometimes give approval to the stoning and execution. But Barnabas, verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord, who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So Barnabas, son of encouragement, comes along and helps the apostle Paul join the apostles, giving his credibility to him. Don Hubbard says this, encouragers see the best and the potential in others, and they let it be known. He was a pretty mixed up kid, causing a lot of problems when he was in the fifth grade. He had a teacher who came up to him and said, "I have heard that you are the worst behaved boy in the whole school, and you are not going to be that way in my class this year." Well, she kind of threw down the gauntlet, and he picked it up. "You want to go? Let's get it on." That year was the worst year. He had his mouth taped, he was put in the corner, he was kicked out of the hallway. It was the worst year that he ever had, and he fulfilled the prophecy that she had spoken to him. Then in sixth grade, he had a teacher who pulled alongside, just like the other teacher, and said, "I have heard that you are the worst boy in our school." Then she took him off to the side, looked into little Howard Hendricks' eyes, and said, "I just want you to know that I do not believe a word of it. I want you to know this is going to be a different year for you, and you're going to learn how to behave, and we're going to enjoy each other. You're going to have the best year at school that you've ever had." Is this sounding familiar, Nene? But she began to pour into him a vision of encouragement. And to be a different person. And he looked back at those years and said, "That teacher changed my life and gave me a vision that I could be something different." For those of you who don't know who Howard Hendricks is, he's probably perhaps the best communicator of the word in our modern age. Passed away a few years ago. He was a teacher at Dallas Seminary for years. He was a mentor of the executive director of our ministry. It was impossible to sit in his class and not be focused on the things that he said. All because somebody saw, believed in him, and made it known. We desperately need to be an encouragement to each other. Amen? So how does that happen? We see from the life of Barnabas that an encourager disciplines and prepares himself or herself for spiritual impact. In Acts chapter 11, verses 22 to 25, we see another glimpse into his life. It says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose." They sent Barnabas, the encourager. Why? In verse 24 it tells us, "Because Barnabas was a good man, he was full of the Holy Spirit and of faith." And it says, "And a great many people were added to the Lord." And so Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. See, in our own flesh and our own abilities, we're going to fail. Amen? We should know ourselves. He was a good man because he was full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And so how do we become this person of encouragement? Flows out of our hearts. If we intend to be that person of encouragement, we have to be people of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, not grieving the Holy Spirit, not sinning against him and letting that go, but seeking to grow to be more like the Lord each and every day. Grow in our relationship with him. Grow in our knowledge of the word so that that is what comes out of our mouths. We're able to speak encouragement to one another. Allowing the Holy Spirit to do that work in and through us, like he was with this man, Barnabas. It says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." Let's make a goal to grow in God's grace this year. Not hold back part of ourselves, to allow sin to hinder that in our lives, but to continue to grow in him. Fourth thing we see is an encourager pursues humility and acknowledges that someone may be more gifted than himself. See, pride is probably the number one enemy to the encourager, where we have to somehow elevate ourselves, and often by putting others down. When jealousy and envy get in the way, we resent the good things and the gifts that others, because we perceive that takes away from our own somehow. We don't see that in Barnabas' life. In Acts chapter 11, as we continue in verses 25 and 26, it says, "So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. So let's imagine this relationship for a moment. While Saul, Paul, was there terrorizing Christians, believers, throwing them in prison, stoning them, on a mission, Barnabas was a believer. He was faithfully serving the Lord. He was engaged in ministry, right? And he was the one who came alongside when Paul needed encouragement, when he needed help, when he needed a friend. He was the one who lifted Paul up, who helped equip him, who helped prepare him for the ministry that God had for him. And from this point forward, we don't hear a whole lot more about Barnabas, right? We hear a lot about Paul. He's like the rock star, right? He is the missionary's missionary. You know, he's endured beatings and stonings and shipwrecks and bites by serpents. And he's being used by the Lord to write letters to these churches that they're sharing everywhere. How do we respond when the people we're working with seem to get more attention, more appreciation, more accolades? We feel like maybe that takes away from our own egos. Does pride, envy, jealousy get in there? That's going to prevent us from being the encouragement that we need to be. But that wasn't Barnabas, right? Barnabas is there pushing them along, helping them along. Still challenging, encouraging him to be who God wanted him to be.
How do we respond in those situations? Are we going to allow God to use us in the lives of others, even if it means that they're going to go further, faster, farther, look more successful, more accomplished, and maybe that we feel like the Lord is using us to be? As we move on down in Acts 15, verse 36, we see that an encourager is forgiving and not judgmental. So Barnabas and Paul had a little bit of a fight. It says, and after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaimed the word and see how they are. Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark. But Paul thought best not to take with them the one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone on with them in the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. And Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. And Paul took Silas and headed the other way. Now we don't know why John Mark left. We know it obviously hurt Paul. He felt betrayed. He had not continued to pursue the ministry with him. He hadn't continued to partner with him. He left. Times got hard perhaps. And he turned away and just left Paul and Barnabas by themselves. He failed. How do we respond when somebody fails us? Because they will, right? He says yes. And guess what? We're going to fail. Amen? We do. And again, sometimes we want people to be a lot more understanding with us when we fail than we are with them. Paul was holding a grudge. He wasn't willing to give John Mark that second chance. He didn't see how people could change, at least not in that short period of time. Barnabas looked at people differently. He saw failure as very human, very realistic, it's going to happen, and he responded by forgiving, not judging, and taking them along. And God created two missionary teams out of that one. Because Barnabas was willing to give him a second chance. Are we willing to give people a second chance? Are we willing to forgive them and demonstrate that forgiveness by involving them in that next thing where they could still let us down again, right? How many of us are grateful that God didn't give up on us? That he continues to bear with us when we fail. Interestingly,
Paul found out that Barnabas was correct. At the end of his life, he himself called for Mark to come to him because he was useful to him in the ministry. Which leads to our final thing, and that is that an encourager reproduces encouragers. You have that impact in somebody else's life that enables them to then be that to somebody else as well. So we think about the Apostle Paul in the last days of his life, as we see in 2 Timothy, his last communication to his young disciple. A little bit of discouragement. Times have been tough. He's in prison. The end is coming. He knows it. He's thankful that he's been able to finish the race faithfully. But it's a discouraging time. He talks about Demas, who deserted him. Three other guys, Crescens, Titus, Tychius, went back to their places of ministry, leaving him alone. Alexander, the coppersmith, did him great harm. He warns Timothy about this individual. He was on trial, and there was no one there to stand with him apart from the Lord. And Paul was trusting in the Lord in this moment. We know that from what we read in 2 Timothy. But he was very human also. He asked for some things. I want my cloak. I'm cold. I want my books. I want to continue to grow. I want my parchments, the scriptures. They're so helpful to me. And then this. Again, he says, Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Who did Paul want at the end of his life? John Mark. What, this guy who turned his tail and ran? What made the difference? Where did John Mark spend his last few years? Right alongside Barnabas, right? As he served alongside the encourager, the son of encouragement, he himself became that encourager. Barnabas made a difference in Mark's life. Now John Mark is making a difference again in the very person that felt very betrayed by him, whom he failed in the past. An encourager has a generous spirit and seeks to meet the needs of others. An encourager believes in people and makes it known. An encourager disciplines and prepares themselves for spiritual impact. An encourager pursues humility and acknowledges that someone may be more gifted than they are. An encourager is forgiving and not judgmental. An encourager produces more encouragers. Doesn't this world need more encouragers? Godly influence. My quiet time this morning, I was in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, and it reminded me, starting at verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You're a light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This is all for God's glory, right? Not my own. That's why Barnabas could be the way that he was. That's what God's calling us to do this year. Amen? What a flavor, life, salt, or just be cast out as useless. Do you want to light this world, or are you going to hide that under discouragement, pride, envy, laziness? Encouragers this year. Godly encouragers. Let's grow close to him and allow him to work through each and every one of us. Amen. Father, thank you for the opportunity you've given us to again be here today and to see the example of a life that is not perfect. And for that, it gives us hope that you can use us in the same way. And so this year, Father, help us to grow close to you and closer to one another. Help us to take our eyes off of ourselves, to look up and to see the person that you placed in our path, and understand that they're there for a reason, that you placed us there for a reason, and use us for your honor, for your glory, so they may see our good works and glorify you in heaven. We'll thank you and praise you and give you the glory for that. In Jesus' name.